Good afternoon. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. My name is Kathleen McCoy, and I want to wish you a happy solstice today. It's not as sunny out there today as it was yesterday, but it's still our solstice, and I want you to enjoy it. And it's days like a solstice that makes you want to get in the car and drive down to the Kenai and go fishing or something like that. So our topic today is road food, and that can be food that you stop in and buy at a lodge or a roadhouse, or it can even mean food you've packed yourself and you're going to drive and then stop and enjoy it outside. So, you know, Alaska offers an awful lot of amazing cuisines, from bison burgers to amazing seafood to great bakeries up and down the road. And really, our guests today, we've got a number of guests, but I really want our listeners to consider themselves a guest today and think about calling in and sharing that wonderful meal you had while you were on a trip somewhere in Alaska. Maybe you planned it. Maybe it was destination dining, or maybe it was just a happenstance. You came upon something that you needed, you stopped, you ate, and it was amazing. So we'd really, really love to hear about it. You can give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage, or statewide, because the roads in Alaska go all over the state. It's 1-888-353-5752, or send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We will broadcast this program again this evening at 7, but right now is your opportunity to call in and share your stories about what you've eaten along the highways and byways of Alaska. We will also podcast this program there. It's archived, and you can come back and listen to it. If you hear something that you really want to try, you can go back to the podcast and figure out what that was and where it was. And I'd also like you to know we've got some pretty cool links there on the website. One of the things I found while I was getting ready for this show was the breakfast menu from the Coldfoot Camp, which is a trucker's camp, a trucker's wayside stop on the way to the North Slope. And I just loved, you know, looking at what the meals were, what a trekker's breakfast was, you know, two eggs, two biscuits with sausage gravy and hash browns or home fries. I was only $11.95 in 2008. That was the date on the menu. So anyway, think about what has made your mouth water while you were driving along the highway. And I'd like to tell you who our guests are today, because we've got one person in the studio with me throughout the show, but we're going to have some drive-by visits from a food blogger who's driven all over Alaska and written about it on roadfood.com. We also are going to have a proprietor of a roadhouse in Alaska that is one of the oldest, and she's still serving food there. And it should be fun to hear from her and her chef. And one of the most recommended places to me while I worked on this program was the Toke Thai Food Wagon in Glen Allen. And we may be able to get the proprietor on the phone to tell us his story. So we've got a lot of things happening. In the studio with me right now is George Bryson. I had first just called George. Hi, George, by the way.
Well, hi, Kathleen. Happy solstice.
Happy solstice to you. I had called George just because I knew he'd lived in Alaska. He'd, you know, has family on the Kenai. I know he goes down there a lot. I knew that he taught riding up in Fairbanks. I knew he was up and down the road system, and I thought he'd have some good food choices to tell us about. But in the meantime, I remembered that he'd ridden a motorcycle all across America, and he totally understands the concept of road food and what it can mean to a traveler. So I invited George to sort of come on in and share this hour with us and tell us some of his stories and some of his thoughts about road food. And I also have, I mentioned roadfood.com, and I have Lisa Lee on the phone. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Kathleen.
I've discovered Lisa by Googling, as we all do. I Googled Alaska road food, and up popped a website called roadfood.com, which is, you know, all over the U.S. People write. It's kind of like a giant listserv or a bulletin board where people write about road food. And I kept finding a reference to L. Lee Chef, and I finally messaged her, and it turned out to be Lisa Lee, and I found out what her story is. So, Lisa, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be a commentator on Alaska road food on roadfood.com.
Well, I was living in Alaska and had gotten involved with roadfood.com and realized that I was the only person who was in Alaska. and nobody had made any commentaries or any reviews about any eateries or roadside places to eat in Alaska. And I happened to write in on a forum, why hasn't anybody done anything about Alaska? And they said, well, you're the only one who's up there. Why don't you start doing something? So I did.
So
I started going around to different little places, and as I would find interesting road food places, I would write about them and send them into the forums and take pictures of food. We're crazy people who run around and take pictures of burgers and sandwiches and pies, and customers and restaurants think that we're just nuts. But that's how I got started with road food in Alaska.
Well, that's a great story, and I'm going to come back to you and get some of your recommendations. And folks, you should get your pens and pencils out, because Lisa has been on every highway in Alaska. She's got some good recommendations. But I'm going to go to George right now and just invite George. You live in Anchorage. You do have family on the Kenai. Didn't you just take a road trip?
Yeah, I did. About a week ago, was heading down to Homer for a conference down there, and it wasn't the sunniest day that I traveled, but I find that when I was traveling alone, and I find that it's really a pleasant thing to kind of look forward to the next stop you might make and the best place you could eat there, kind of on the fly, nothing fancy or sit down. And so I'm driving through Soldotna, and I pass the Moose is Loose Bakery.
In Soldotna?
In Soldotna, yeah. This is really a nice little bakery, and where, I don't know, every time I'm in there, everything is fresh. And so there's these freshly out of the oven apple fritters that with a nice glaze, mm-hmm. and I get one of those, and I get some coffee, and I continue on my way, and I reach Homer, and I can cross the finish line, so I can congratulate myself by going by the Homer Brewery and have a glass there, and then Fat Alice's. It's an Italian restaurant that a lot of locals in.
Fat Alice's or Fat Olives?
Excuse me.
There's Fat, Alice's Champagne,
you know,
Palace.
Yeah, I just because I went to both of them. Sorry, I'm afraid I conflated Alice's Champagne Palace with Fat Olives Italian food. Both of which I went to, and both were really a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
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 Loved the food at. Fat Olives.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can make a day of it, actually. You can have breakfast in Soldotna and have maybe lunch or an early dinner in Homer. So when you went to Fat Olives, did you know that it was good, or did you just stumble on it?
I knew it was pretty good from previous visits.
Oh,
but
you've been there.
But I can tell you it's still good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's still really nice. I just, again, I was traveling by myself, and so I'm happy to sit at the bar and eat. And mm-hmm. and you, for me, eating is an opportunity to be social with the person sitting next to you. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I sat there at the bar, and it's still great. It's just nice service. Yeah.
It's a nice way to mingle with local people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, food is such a facilitator of conversation, of conviviality. Lisa, let's hear a little bit from you. I know I heard a phrase from you when we were talking earlier about 5 o'clock on Friday means you're either on the boat or you're in the camper, you're on the road.
Exactly. At 5 o'clock, it was time to pack up and get out of Anchorage and go someplace. I was very fortunate that I had both a camper and a boat. Once the boat came into the picture, the road food thing kind of went by the wayside,
mm-hmm.
because there's not a lot of road food out in Prince William Sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when we were traveling all over Alaska, and even one year we did the haul road all the way up to Prudhoe and back, that was when I really got a chance to visit a lot of little mom-and-pop places.
Mm-hmm. Did you actually make it to Coldfoot? Did you stop at Coldfoot?
I stopped at Coldfoot. Yeah, we stopped there to fuel up and did not eat there at mm-hmm. the trucker stop, but we did stop to fuel up.
Mm-hmm.
Because after there's a fuel stop at Yukon River Bridge, and then the next one is Coldfoot, and after that it's Dead Horse.
Wow. You know, I meant to mention this at the start of the show that Alaska has this amazing heritage of roadhouses from the turn of the century that were literally built the distance that you could walk in a day or travel in a day by a dog team or maybe horses. And it's in one place I read, it was like they were often about 10 miles apart or something like that. Well, we've got that history of the wayfarer and who needs, you know, warm shelter, some community, right, and some food. And probably on the haul road, you still feel that a little bit because you're not, it's really not like driving to Homer.
No, it's not like driving to anywhere you've ever been in your life. It's completely different. Actually, there's nothing there.
Ooh.
There's a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
But it's the most beautiful scenery I think I've ever seen of anywhere in my life. It's absolutely gorgeous.
So you just have to pack your food and camp, cook along the roadside when you do that road?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Like I said, I was fortunate that I had a pop-up camper on a pickup truck. So
perfect.
I could take my own food. I could, you know, we could eat someplace if we wanted to, or we could just cook and sit outside in the midnight sun because it was in July.
Oh, God. You know, when I was getting ready for this, I looked at the milepost online, and it does a great job of just giving you milepost by milepost, places that should be open for business that you could stop at. Did you use that when you were traveling along these various highways?
Exclusively.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Use the milepost every time, especially on the trip up the Hall Road. We use the milepost all the time, and we would have friends come up from the lower 48 for the first time, and they'd rent an RV or something and just think they were going to set out, and we would say no, you have to have this, and we were constantly giving away copies of the milepost.
Right. It is the traveler's Bible.
It is.
Since you are sort of, well, first of all, you're a chef. You worked as a chef in Anchorage, right?
Yes.
So I think that gives you some credibility for talking about the kind of food you found along the roads in Alaska. How would you characterize, you know, I mean, sometimes it's hard to get fresh food out to these places, fresh produce. How would you characterize what you found on some of these more distant, and let's talk about some of the highways you were on, like the Richardson or the Steese. Where did you go?
I was on every highway in Alaska at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I found road food places that, like, there's one in Hope, the Seafood Bar and Cafe, and it has to be some of the best halibut that I've ever had anywhere.
Mm.
Also, the Swiftwater Cafe in Whittier, some of the best halibut. And I've eaten everything from, you know, caribou sausage to reindeer meat to all kinds of seafood in all these places. And I have to honestly say, unless you're out in the Mat-Su, you're not going to find a whole lot of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to find a nice big green salad because it just is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I know. I noticed the Coldfoot Camp, I mentioned this, if you wanted fruit, you could have canned fruit. That's what they offered. So,
Dole mixed fruit out of a can is probably all they can get up there.
Right. How about, you know, the classic burger and fries? Was that something you enjoyed on the road?
There's a great place in Talkeetna called the West Rib Pub and Grill that has one of the best burgers I've ever had. And they also have caribou burgers. Actually, I had great food all over Alaska. Some of the burgers that I had in Alaska are 100 times better than other ones that I've had down here in the lower 48.
Wonder why we're good at that.
People would say to me, you're a chef, and how do you find the food? And I said, the food is, for the most part, the food is almost better than in the lower 48. I never had a bad meal in Alaska.
Oh, that's great. That makes us feel really good here.
Yeah, whether it was just a great burger or reindeer sausage or, of course, any of the seafood is always delicious.
Right. That's a huge advantage we have up here is the seafood.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. Because not only do you have a lot of it, you have a lot of different kinds of it, which makes it really interesting. You're not just limited to halibut and salmon.
Right. You've got, what, side striped shrimp? Crab?
Yes, and crab and
trout?
Hatchimac Bay oysters and clams. There's just a lot of stuff. George would know if he was just in Homer. They have a ton of seafood down there.
Yeah, the spit's kind of overridden with it. But it's interesting to hear you say you've never had a bad meal in Alaska. I guess I'm coming from a place where I have had a bad meal in Alaska. And
okay, let's be honest.
And you know, sometimes it's meals I prepare for myself. But but it kind of brings up one thought I had. And for a lot of people, I think taking a road trip is maybe not these wonderful places you're describing, which I want to look up your blog and take note of several you've mentioned already. They sound great. But for a lot of people, going on a road trip is filling the car up with chips and cookies and candy bars and anything you picked up at the last place you stopped for gas.
At the convenience store.
At the convenience store. So your vehicle's loaded down with, this junk food. And I don't know about other people, but I have no willpower to have it be in the front seat with me and I'll consume all of it. And so, and that ruins the meal that you're headed toward. So right. what I've really had to do is the strategy I have is to try and limit what's in the car to something like fruits or, I don't know, chewing gum or, of course, coffee, a thermos of coffee, something like that, so that when I get to the place that I'm looking forward to eating, I have a good appetite for it.
Right.
A little self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the phones because we're getting some people calling in who want to share their favorite places. Aliza, you're on the air with Hometown Alaska. Hi.
Hi. It's great to be here. I love talking about food.
Well, let's hear some. Now, I know you live in Tok, right?
Yes, I was in Anchorage for a number of years and then moved to Tok. I've been in Tok since 2008, and I used to make the trek from Tok to Anchorage 7 hours all the time. I still do it pretty often, but I also go to Fairbanks because I fly out of the airport there.
Mm-hmm.
So I stop off at wherever I can to get a meal, especially halfway there, halfway to my destination. So, you know, besides the fact that Tok is the place everybody stops in when they first come into Alaska or they're heading out of Alaska. And we've got, you know, Fast Eddie's and we've got the new Beaver Fever Cafe. But then there's and then in Delta, there's the Taste of Europe, which actually is Russian food. They say it's Mediterranean, but they have the greatest borscht. And you find these unexpected pockets of places that you don't even realize there's a restaurant there half the time. The sign may not be really prominent, but we always stop and we investigate. And half the time I'm with my six-year-old daughter, and we just try a little bit of everything.
So part of this is looking at it as an adventure, I guess, a discovery process.
It is. When you're on the road for that many hours and especially when you're traveling with a young child, part of it is discovery, exploration, adventure. I really want to instill in her the love of trying new foods. And then part of it is necessity. After a certain point, you've got to get up, you've got to stretch, you need to just go and get nourished.
Yeah.
And you know, we have fruits and nuts and chips and water in the car, but you need a meal and you need that break from the long time on the road.
Well, let's hear a couple of your recommendations.
Well, I definitely would say if you're passing through Tok and you're there on a Friday night, you have got to go for Prime Rib Night. It is the event in Tok on Friday nights at Fast Eddie's. And there is also, I don't know if you're going to be talking about the Choctaw truck.
We hope to be. Yes, I got so many recommendations for that. And I actually was in Valdez this past weekend at the tail end of the Last Frontier Theater Conference. And I'd first seen it on a blog. And the blog was a couple years old. And so I thought, I wonder if it's still going to be there. And sure enough, it was. So you've eaten there?
It is there. Well, I've definitely eaten at the truck, which is this great purple truck at the Hub gas station stop in Glen Allen, but in Choke, where we're extra lucky, because Jen serves the Thai food out of her kitchen window. So it's like a little drive-up takeout place, and you can order off of a menu. She's got the menus all throughout town, so if you're staying at an RV park or if you're staying anywhere in town, you'll see her menus. And literally, you drive to her house, she opens her kitchen window, you pay, and she gives you incredibly fresh Thai food. So that's like this little hidden secret that I'm so excited about when I'm in Choke.
And it sounds to me like we can find her. Like you said, the flyers are all over town, and you'll find her?
Yes, you can. And also on my Living in Choke blog, I have an article about her. So if you search for Living in Choke and Jen's Thai food, you'll definitely find her information there as well. I like to support local businesses with my blog and just talk about living in such a rural area.
Right, right. And now for our roadside travelers, we got some good recommendations on Toke, but you've been on the road to Fairbanks, you've been on the road to Anchorage. Where else do you like to stop? What have you had there?
Well, on the way to Anchorage, there is a place called Raven Wolf Java Joint. And you'll see the signs and come up on it and pass it very quickly. So you've got to be on the lookout. And it's right before the Matanuska Glacier area. And she's got great coffee drinks. And she has some different things that you can eat as well. It's just served out of a little coffee shack, and she lives literally in the house next door. So I would say if you're needing some caffeine, make sure you look out for Raven Wolf Java Joint. And then, again, the Caribou in Glen Allen and Eureka Lodge in Eureka both have great homemade soups and great homemade pies. So I would say that those are perfect. And then Taste of Europe have their borscht.
Yeah.
When you're in Delta Junction, those are really places that I are sort of, they're tried and true for me. I know that when I hit Delta Junction, I can just head over there and have a really good hearty meal. And then hopefully have some caffeine as well so I don't fall asleep on the road.
Right.
Because those are really long hauls.
Right.
But you can definitely find very tasty and different food, unexpected food in these places.
Well, that is so great. I hope folks are taking notes. I know I'm taking notes. And the next time I'm on the road, I'm going to stop at some of these places. And I really loved your descriptions. And I love the fact that, you know, if you're not looking for it, you might fly right by it because the signage might not be, you know, flashing right in your face. And also, if something isn't really shiny and bright, it might still be a good place to stop and get something to eat.
And with good people, good service, friendly, and always colorful and interesting.
Yeah, right. Well, Aliza, thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling in. This is exactly the kind of expert that we're looking for to sort of share your real world experience on the road. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Love food, love the road.
All right, thanks, Aliza. Well, so Lisa and George, did you write those names down?
furiously scribbling
and mouth watering. I'm going to go ahead and go to another phone call because we really want to get these recommendations out. And Betsy, welcome to Hometown Alaska. I see a note here about restaurants in the Arctic.
They're not technically on the highway system, but these are places that you can find in some of the two of the larger communities in the Arctic, and I do a lot of traveling to Arctic communities with my job. I grew up in Anchorage, but once I started going to the Arctic, I was just amazed by the vast variety of food that you can find, even on the northernmost part of the state. And I found that the best pizza place in Alaska, in my opinion, is in Nome. It's not the Moose's Tooth, but it's called Airport. airport pizza in Nome. It's like a brick-fired oven, and the pizza there is really amazing. In Kotzebue, the place that I love to go to there for breakfast is called the Bayside Restaurant. It has an amazing view of the Chukchi Sea. It's right on the shore there. And it's great for breakfast, but it's owned by some Korean people, and they actually make really, really good kimchi.
Mm.
So if you're going to Kotzebue, you should definitely stop there. In Barrow, if people saw the movie Big Miracle, you probably noticed a lot of people that were up in Barrow were going to it was a fictional Mexican restaurant, but there really is a Mexican restaurant in Barrow. It's been there for years and years. And it's called Pepe's. Another favorite place that I have in Barrow that I always have to go to when I'm there is Osaka's, which is a Japanese restaurant. So you can get really awesome sushi there. But it's also open for breakfast, and I've had really good all-American breakfast there. And then in terms of food that honors the Inupiat culture on the Arctic slope, if you go to Point Hope, you should stay at the Northern Inn, which is a bed and breakfast, and it's owned by this woman, Leona Frankson, and her sister, Eunice, will sometimes bring these really awesome, homemade, fresh-out-of-the-oven cinnamon rolls for people staying there. But they've also brought muktuk, which is the whale blubber from the bowhead whale, and I've had whale meat and beluga muktuk there as well. They're
oh my
really
gosh!
People.
It sounds like you have taken the eating tour of the airwaves, I guess. What's your job, Betsy?
I work for a small environmental nonprofit called the Alaska Wilderness League, and I've been working with tribes in the Arctic that are mitigating oil and gas issues.
Oh, wow. So you've done an awful lot of traveling. I would love to compile your list and, put it on our website. So if somebody's driving along and they can't quite, reach over and write this down on a pad next to them, that we could still share it with people. So I don't know if there's any opportunity for you to send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We could share that on the website, and we'll just call it Betsy's List.
Great. I would love to do that. And I also wanted to say that when George Bryson was outlining his drive to Homer, those are all the places that my husband makes us stop at, especially the Homer Brewery, but also that bakery in Soldotna. And then in the morning, my favorite place to go to once we spent the night in Homer is Two Sisters Bakery.
Oh, that's a classic, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Good coffee, good pastries, good bread. I mean, God, that's the salt of the earth, right?
Yeah.
Well, you really ought to be writing about food. You've got an absolute great ability to make my mouth water and make me want to try some of these places. And actually, I love the idea of going out into the places that you have to fly into. I mean, we started out with roadside food, but it's really traveler's food. And you could even consider the Marine Highway. I mean, that's another way people get around this massive state. So I really appreciate your suggestions and that you called in from the northern part of the state. So thanks a lot, Betsy.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. We'll look forward to your list. We'll put it on the website we'll just call it Betsy's List.
Okay.
Thanks, Betsy. Okay, so Lisa and George, that is just so awesome that we got. I mean, I'm just thrilled. I felt so lucky when I found Lisa, because I have taken road trips in Alaska. In fact, I have one little story to tell, which was I came up to visit my brother. And this was before I lived in the state, and I came in February, and he said, well, we've got to go to McKinley, and we've got to see McKinley. So in February, we planned to camp right at the Riley Creek campground. So we weren't like going in, but we were going to. So we drove all the way up there to find out we'd forgotten our tent poles. So we used our ski poles, and we got into our tent at 6 p.m. And my brother had a little bottle of apricot schnapps, and some chocolate. And he said, every hour, wake up and take a swig of this and eat some chocolate. And that's how you're going to stay warm all night long. And I was laying in the sleeping bag realizing I was going to be there for 12 hours. Well, that is not my roadside food story. The next day we got up and we ended up seeking shelter. And we found Mary Carey's restaurant. It's called Mary's McKinley View Restaurant. And my poor brother was sort of hypothermic, and he went and ran a hot bath and got in and tried to warm up. And I sat at the counter and had the best slice of blueberry pie with vanilla ice cream on it that I've ever had in my life. So it was fantastic.
For breakfast.
Yes, immediately. So I'm going to go ahead and take one more caller. Hi, Julie. You're on the phone with Hometown Alaska, and you're calling from Fairbanks.
Hi, Kathleen. I haven't listened to the show thus far, so I'm not sure if you've talked with Annie and Casey from Black Rapids already.
Oh, no. Actually, we haven't really gotten there, but I was going to tell our callers that we were going to have a treat for them when we came back from our break. And so we will pick up what we did is, because of Alaska's heritage with lodges and roadhouses, we decided to, see if we could find somebody. And we did. We actually were recommended that this roadhouse was a great place for food and comfort. So we got a few people on the phone. So we're going to come back after our break and talk about the lodge at Black Rapids. So you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and this is Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska on this solstice afternoon. First off, we're talking road food in Alaska, but if you were listening to the first half hour, you know that we talked about up in the Arctic, places that you actually have to fly to, but we got great recommendations on where you should eat if you're in Kotzebue or Barrow or Nome. Apparently, there's a pizza place in Nome to rival Moose's Tooth. So, but before we go on, I want to thank one of our guests who's been with us for the first half hour, Lisa Lee. I want to say thank you very much. I found Lisa on roadfood.com, which is a place where people write about their food experiences. And it turned out that Lisa was one of the only experts writing from Alaska. So she shared some of her favorite places and her view of food, how well we're doing, because she is a chef. So Lisa, I wanted to say thank you, and I really appreciate it. And I hope folks find you and find other food conversations on roadfood.com.
Thank you, Kathleen. It was my pleasure, and happy solstice.
Happy solstice to you, and thanks a lot. Bye-bye. So, Julie, you're still with us, and actually, you're the person who recommended this lodge. So tell us about it.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Can hear you fine.
Okay, great. Well, it's the lodge at Black Rapids, or the new lodge. There's an old roadhouse there from the old roadhouse system. And a few years ago, Mike and Annie Hopper started building their dream, which is a beautiful timber frame lodge. It is inspired by a beautiful lodge in Yosemite Park in California. And they've done a beautiful job of building this wonderful place in Alaska. And it's about 40 miles south of Delta. And it's so beautiful inside that when I first walked in there, I'm very lucky. I work for Alyeska Pipeline, and I get to stay at the lodge sometimes when I'm working out on the pipeline. And the first time I was there, I was with a workmate, and we both walked in. It was our first time for both of us. We both walked in, we looked around, and immediately got on our cell phones to call our significant others to say how great this place was and how we couldn't wait to bring them back with us the next time we came. It's a beautiful lodge. It feels so great to be in there. The views are stunning. The food is great. Mike and Annie do a lot of cooking themselves, and they've also engaged some wonderful chefs as their schedule allows. They have a wonderful dog named Rowdy that I can't wait to see on Friday night. And I always sleep like a baby when I'm at the lodge. I get the best night's sleep ever.
Well, why don't you tell us some memorable food you had there so we know what to order when we get there?
Okay. Well, it's served family style, so every night will be a surprise. But every dinner that I've had has started with a wonderful salad. They always have kind of a surprising mix of ingredients in the salad, and then they'll make a wonderful homemade salad dressing that slightly dresses the salad but doesn't drown it, and it's wonderful. And then they'll bring a large plate of, I've had salmon, I've had chicken, I've had pork, all, you know, beautifully prepared and artfully presented, and they always have several sides of sometimes potatoes or a rice pilaf. They'll have broccoli, asparagus, always beautifully presented. And there's lovely bread that's warm out of the oven.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you have room, they will serve you dessert as well. And
oh my
they
gosh.
Also serve beer and wine.
You're just making me so hungry. Well, you know, I had three people recommend this lodge, which is why I decided that I should pursue it. And it was, I was at a barbecue Saturday night, or Sunday night, I guess, in Anchorage, standing around, and I just happened to ask someone, you know, what's your recommendations for roadside food? And they immediately went to this place and recommended it. And they're on an airplane and couldn't actually call in, but we found you. I think you're a friend of a friend who has also,
yeah.
And so, yep. Basically, Julie, because of your good recommendation, I'm going to go ahead and welcome Annie Hopper to the air. She is the proprietor. I decided to get in touch to find out, because Alaska's got such an old history of roadhouses, how she found herself as the proprietor of a roadhouse. And we also have plans for her cook to get on, or her chef to get on with us. So I'm going to say goodbye to Julie and welcome Annie.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us.
Yes. And in case people have just joined us, I just want them to know, you know, we want to hear from folks. We're talking about roadside food in Alaska. When we've got these long highways and, you know, towns spread out. So when you're in the car driving from Valdez to Fairbanks, or, you know, Anchorage to Denali, or Anchorage to Homer, where are your favorite places to stop? What do you like to eat, and what do you recommend? And we've gotten some great recommendations. I'd like to reintroduce my studio guest. George Bryson is here with me, and he talked earlier about the bakeries he loves to stop on his way to Homer, which was validated by one of our callers who said her husband makes them stop at exactly the same places. But let me get back to first let me throw out the phone number for folks so they can actually, if they've got a story they want to share, they can, because we'd love to hear it. If you're in Anchorage, you can call us at 550-8433, or statewide, it's 1-888-353-5752, or you can send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So Annie, let's talk a little bit about how you got into this lodge business.
Wow, that's we built a cabin out in that area. That's the lodge is located in the Alaska Range at 227.4 mile on the Richardson Highway, and it's about I'd say halfway between Paxson and Delta Junction. And we built a family cabin there, and we're driving by the property and noticed that it hadn't been attended to in some time. We were able to track down what was going on with it and purchase the acreage there, and started looking at what are we going to do here. And my husband's idea was to build a small mountaineering lodge, which turned into much larger than a small mountaineering lodge. And I was really intrigued by the old roadhouse that's down on the roadside. So we have an old roadhouse on the road that we have spent 4 years with some state grants and a lot of volunteers refurbishing. Right now it's just stabilized. It was built in the early 1900s. It's over 100 years old. And so we were able to save the building, and we're hoping for a couple more grants to try to finish it eventually. And meanwhile, we then built this timber frame lodge up on the bluff behind it.
And I think the original place, if I read on your site, it was opened in like 1904.
Yes, we think it's actually 1902, and we've tracked down some of the history through different museums and that sort of thing, but it's got a very interesting past. There's a book called The Alaska Wolfman, written by Jim Reardon, who now is retired and lives in Homer. And this book talks a lot about that whole area and one of the owners of the lodge some time ago, Frank Glacier. And my husband wanted to bulldoze that building down, and I sort of threw myself in front of the bulldozer. Wait, and that's when I got really hooked on history and of roadhouses, and went about finding about as much history about the characters that have been in that roadhouse. And so we've had a lot of visitors that through the years, that used to be the main route to Anchorage. And so everybody used to stop at the old roadhouse, and there was another, you know, 50s-style building that was attached to the roadhouse. That's where everybody used to stop for pie. So they left a hard act to follow in terms of their reputations for food. So we're trying to rise up to it.
By the way, we're going to welcome your chef, Casey Welch, is on another line, and she can engage with us here. Because I wanted to know, you know, did you use recipes from the old roadhouse? Did they leave cookbooks or handwritten recipes that you, or did you just have to start from scratch?
Well, we've started from scratch in some ways, and we really wanted to build and serve and do something, you know, quite different. I think of people often on the road as being somewhat weary and having long days and the long drives, especially our tourists. But we're also a very special spot for locals, and we're open year-round in the winter and in the summer, and we've had just phenomenal skiing weather and snows and blizzards on top of that. And so a lot of our Alaskan friends and families from Fairbanks and Anchorage have come now, and we serve a family-style meal, but sometimes we use recipes, and they're very special ones. People love to bring us recipes and say, this would fit perfectly here. I found some very interesting recipes in the Milepost Roadhouse cookbooks that are very fun, and a lot of them are taken for some of our finest our places from Two Rivers Lodge, like out on Chena Pump out or Chena Road, going out to the hot springs, or from Seven Gables Inn and the Talkeetna Roadhouse, which has killer breakfasts. And so a lot of that has been a fabric from a little bit of the foundation from which we've kind of grown what we're cooking.
Do you, I'm going to bring on Casey here in a minute and let you go, Annie, because I really wanted to hear, you know, how did you get into this business? Actually, one detail you mentioned earlier was that you plan to start serving food out of the old roadhouse eventually.
Yes, and when we finish that building, what I'd like to do is be able to serve the road traffic. Our lodge, people can make reservations and come there just for dinner, which is more than welcome. We ask them to give us a day's head, at least 24 hours if possible. Breakfast and lunch we can pretty much handle when people walk in, but dinner for sure, because we are remote and we plan out our food and all that. But we do serve people on the road system. So if they call in for reservations, it works pretty well.
But you're going to put what, soups and breads down at the old roadhouse eventually?
Yeah, and that would meet the road traffic. And I think that people, you know, to be able to serve really nice homemade soups and fresh bread and good coffee and good ice cream, that would be a wonderful way to be able to meet some of the road traffic and have a beautiful place. We'll probably have a little bit of a lunch theater there, you know, kind of animating some of the characters of that area. And also just have the opportunity to be able to hear some of the history and see a little bit of museum and gift shop as well.
Well, that is so great. I'm just going to say hi to Casey. Are you there, Casey?
Yes, I am, and thank you for welcoming me.
And Annie, I know you're at work, and I know you have to go. I want to say thanks for taking the time, and I'll just talk with Casey. I want to find out how you have fresh, good food on a road system like that. We did hear from an earlier caller that kind of acknowledged that sometimes these remote places can't really get such great food, and yet we've heard lots of great examples of Kotzebue or other places where people somehow are managing. So I'm wanting to ask Casey, do you have a vegetable garden? Do you have a greenhouse? How do you have those delicious fresh salads?
I think part of it is, we do have fresh cut herbs that we use that we've cut them right off the deck, from local greenhouses that have been purchased plants. Though at this point, not right now, there's not an up and running greenhouse, but we do think we try to think local. We try to get supplies locally as well. I mean, that is a very important component. And when you do get produce particularly produce and fruits and vegetables, buy in smaller quantities and use them right away. It's really important, as we all know, just the timing of when we get things. And so, and to think seasonal, like, for example, I was with friends in Fairbanks, and they gave me 5 pounds of fresh rhubarb out of their yard. So I'll be making a rhubarb dessert tonight to serve to the guests.
Right, right. I wanted to let our listeners know that, you know, because we're calling remote places in Alaska, people are on cell phones, and I know Annie's on a landline in Fairbanks, but Casey's on a cell phone in her kitchen out there at what mile 224.7 of the Richardson Highway. So, Casey, I'd like to know, what's your definition of comfort food? Is it something you really try to have for travelers, or, you know, or is there something people ask for all the time?
Well, I won't say that people specifically ask for. As Annie will tell you, there's great diversity to the guests that come here to this lodge. A lot of Europeans right now. A lot of Europeans are coming here from Germany, especially, and from Italy and from France. I've noticed a lot of Germans. And so maybe subliminally, I gave a little bit in some of the pork dishes and the braised apples and the braised cabbages dishes for them. But I have had some of the guests say, gee, this reminds me of home, Bavaria, or Forest type of thing. And I said, well, these are equally things that I think of as comfort foods for myself. At times, I've been road weary to come in, and but certain foods are almost, I don't want to say universal, but are more happily satisfied and accepted by people than in other places. I mean, come on, mac and cheese. How much more American can we get than mac and cheese?
And so comforting.
But take it to the next level, you know, make it a really deluxe mac and cheese and make it a really deluxe meatloaf, and that's what sets it apart. That's when people come back and say, particularly we have a lot of folks right now with Alyeska that are working in different stages on the pipeline or construction sites on the Richardson Highway. And what I noticed started developing was that, oh, my gosh, did I just meet you last week? And they're like, well, yeah, but it's Thursday, and you make meatloaf on Thursdays, and it's really good. And so some things kind of developed, and I stumbled upon it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, my gosh, all of a sudden there's a local calling of people who are working in this area. And so I've tried to continue and extend with that.
And so if we were driving by, the thing we'd have to do is we'd have to call a day ahead to be able to probably eat dinner at the lodge. We could probably just stop by for breakfast or lunch, maybe. I'm just trying to figure out, eventually you'll have that roadside, the old roadhouse, maybe up and running for just drop-in soup and bread and ice cream and
exactly.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And is there, just one more question for you, Casey, then I'll let you go. I'm sure you're probably in the middle of preparations for dinner. I wanted to, as you know, have you share one recipe with us that you think is a real roadhouse standard. And I know that, you know, you prepare your meals each night with what's available, so it's not like people can plan to go in and order a specific thing. But what's a signature dish for you, and is there something special you do with it?
Well, I would say probably there are several things that come to my mind, but one thing that I think is a comfort food for most people is macaroni and cheese.
Did you say macaroni and cheese, Casey?
Yeah, mac
okay.
and cheese.
Okay.
And so that would be one that I think is pretty standard, and everyone can enjoy it, whether it's you're serving four or 40 people. It's just that. So basically, that kind of recipe starts a roux, which is flour and butter together.
Hey, Casey? I got most of that. It's macaroni and cheese. You start with a roux. I can imagine how delicious and warm that is. And I'm going to ask if maybe you could email that in to us, because I'd love to share it on our website. And I'll see if I can get it when we're offline, but you're cutting out, and I fear that our listeners aren't able to get the details. So I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye and see if I can't get that mac and cheese recipe taken to a second level by you and share it on our website. Would that be okay with you?
Sure, that's fine. If that works for you, I'm sorry our transmission is cutting out.
Well, that's just, you know, the risks you take talking across a state as big as Alaska. But I really appreciate you taking the time out of, are you headed back into the kitchen right now to prepare dinner?
I will be heading back into the kitchen to finish the rhubarb desserts, yes.
And would you just tell us what's on your menu tonight?
Tonight's menu is a steak portage shepherd pie, and that will be served with a spinach salad and rhubarb crisp.
Oh, that's right, from your neighbors or your friends in Fairbanks. Okay. All right, Casey, thank you so much for spending some time with us on the phone. I really appreciate it. And I will be in touch to get that recipe and share it on our website with our listeners. Thanks a lot.
Best to you.
Thanks, Casey. Bye-bye. And we said goodbye to Annie already. So thanks to both of them for taking the time out. We just have a little more time, so I'm going to throw out our phone numbers one more time for folks if they want to tell us of a wonderful meal they've had somewhere along the road system, on the Alcan, wherever. You can give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752 statewide, or send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So, George, did we make your stomach growl? Make your make you hungry for dinner?
Yeah, a lot of perseverance here, not to excuse myself and go get a bite to eat. Actually,
yeah. But, I know I'm already planning my supper. Makes me want to hop in a car and just go take a road trip. You know.
Yeah. You know, I got thinking from what your last caller had to say, that there's a lot of reasons to stop to get a bite to eat on the road that don't have maybe so much to do with what's on the menu, because as you mentioned, last fall I took a real long trip on a motorcycle, and I've taken long trips on bicycles, and a lot of times the reason to stop at a roadhouse is to get warm.
Uh-huh.
And made me think of, I think the first time you and I worked on a story together was a long time ago on the Iditarod Trail, and it made me think of the Roan Roadhouse, and back in the days of Susan Butcher and Cowboy Smith and early Rick Swenson.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And there wasn't such an emphasis then on seeing how fast they could do the race, and so when they reached the Roan Roadhouse, it was just like a big social gathering. It was an opportunity to really have fun with each other. And that's kind of a second reason, is at least for me, traveling by myself on a motorcycle across the country, a lot of the reasons I stopped at some place to eat was just for the sociability factor. Reminds me of one little spot down near Clam Gulch on the Kenai Peninsula, and this combines both sociability and being cold. If you've ever gone clam digging at Gulch, you come out of that kind of bitterly cold.
Frozen fingers, mm-hmm. Frozen feet, windburned face.
And
yeah.
So real near there one time, we saw a lot of people lined up at it was a roadside truck that said Jersey Subs on the side of the truck. So we stopped there too, and a wonderful Philly cheese steak and with, you know, grilled onions.
Oh.
And it just a very sociable chef, and that later became the go-to place for us every time we go clam digging, as we stop at the Jersey Sub truck right there.
Oh, that's
near
great.
Clam Gulch.
Do you have any idea if it's there now?
You know, we missed the low tide this spring, so I'm not sure if it's still there, but every time we've needed it, it's been there. It's like the room of requirement in Harry Potter.
That's great. That's great. I want to share one email we got. Thanks to Matt Reese, who sent in a note. He wants people to know about a great place for an ice cream pit stop in Wasilla is Little Miller's. It is on the corner of the second to the last light on your way towards Big Lake. Also, Steve's Food Boy in Big Lake has a great deli, best place for chicken strips and JoJo's in Alaska. Is that how you say that, JoJo's? I have made the drive several times just for some JoJo's. So thanks a lot, Matt. I'm glad we got a chance to share that with our listeners. Let's see. Also, one detail that I didn't get to cover yet, I told listeners that I had been at the Valdez Theater Conference and on the way back stopped at the Hub and saw the Toke Thai Food truck and ended up having a conversation with John Furman, who's the proprietor, and we did give him a call, and he wanted to be on the show, but he told me, I'm going fishing Tuesday night and I just don't know when I'm going to get back. So I think we probably missed John, but he did tell me his story and it's pretty interesting, and I figure so many people recommended that spot that I thought people would enjoy hearing a little bit of the history. John is a marine engineer. He's worked all over the state and on boats, and so he's been, you know, tied to water bodies of water and, you know, shipping vessels. But he was in Fairbanks a couple years ago, and he went to a Thai food restaurant in Fairbanks, which is a story of our times with so many, you know, delicious ethnic restaurants coming into the country here. Anyway, he met the cook there, fell in love, and they got married, and she was from Laos, and her dad had been a cook in Laos, and told some amazing stories of his family having to hide out in, I think John called it spider caves. You know, there were just all kinds of safety issues for his family. But eventually, his daughter, married to John, made her way to Alaska, was a cook in Fairbanks. They met and married, and she wanted her husband to get a break, so she said, I'll cook. So he outfitted the truck. He did all the work in the truck. He said he's got 18 feet of working space. And they've been there for 3 years. They're called the Toke Thai Food Truck because they started in Toke, but then they moved on down to Glen Allen. And John told me that his son is starting a Toke Thai food truck that will actually be in Toke. So there's a little bit of the background. He also told me that Pad Thai is the most popular meal ordered at the truck, that most people are surprised to find Thai food so readily available in Alaska. But he does not eat Thai food every day. He goes to, I think it's the sourdough bakery there and has his breakfast. So that's a little bit of background of that place people may be passing very frequently. It was recommended many times. So, George, we're out of time, so I just want to say thanks to everybody for their mouth-watering details. Thanks, George Bryson. Thanks, Lisa Lee. Thank you, Annie Hopper and Chef Casey Welch from the Lodge at Black Rapids. Next week on Hometown Alaska, join host Charles Wolforth to talk about fishing in town. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is the Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Spack is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.